Good morning. Good morning. That's a little bit better. Thank you. It's good to see you this morning. I'm glad to be with you this morning and to get to share in what we're going to be talking about today. This is some exciting stuff, and it just makes my head spin. And I hope that that's okay with you. And if at some point in the deal I begin to look like the Exorcist, don't call a priest. Just come up here and knock me down, okay? I want to just let you know, God is doing some amazing stuff in the life of our church, and it's exciting to get to see what God is doing. I want to say this. I don't know why. I just kind of feel led to say this. Whatever. A lot of you maybe are new to us at 24. We take a lot for granted. I think that we've been doing this for a couple of years now, and we take a lot for granted for why we're doing this, and that you know we set out like missionaries, going to another country and taking that country's culture and that country's language and all those things and trying to use those things like you would in a foreign land, trying to do the exact same thing right here where we live. And that's what God called us to do. So it's a very missionary mindset thing. But I just want to encourage you that if you've just been hanging out with us for a little while, and maybe this is the first time you've even heard me talk about the whole missionary mindset of what 24 Church is about, I want to encourage you with this and just kind of encourage you to just pray about where you're going to fit in that. Because if God has called you to be a part of this body, then He's called you to be a part of this body. And that means there's something within this body God wants you to be active in pursuing and doing and ministering to other people through and all those things. And it may be something that we have as far as like a ministry team goes or whatever, and that's great, and it may not be. It may not be something that's even on our radar right now. We may just be clueless that you've got this gift or whatever it is that God is placing on your heart. So just be praying about that. Just be thinking about that. And don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, man, okay? Just don't be afraid. I want to have a word of prayer, and then we're going to jump into this. Let's just pray right now. God, thank you so much for allowing us to worship you, for allowing us to be able to have knowledge of who you are. And God, although it does make our head spin sometimes to go after understanding who you are, for doing it, God, we grow in you. And our relationship with you grows so much stronger. And we grow so much stronger. So God, I just ask that you just be with us this morning, God, as we seek your word, as we seek who you are. God, that you would reveal yourself to us. In your name I pray. Amen. I wanted to start off the service this morning with a movie clip from, and I say this a lot, one of my favorite movies. I say that line, I think, more than I should sometimes. But this really is one of my favorite movies, and I'm not by any way endorsing this movie. It's not like the most wholesome movie on earth, but it's just a funny movie. And some of you can understand and respect this movie if you're from my era maybe or whatever. But it's the movie Billy Madison. I'm just going to put it out there. It's Billy Madison, okay? And, you know, stop looking at me, Swan. You know, I can nail it every time. And you know, and I love that movie. And what I was gonna use this clip this morning about the knowledge. Actually, it's the academic decathlon. I just really couldn't find a clip that we could show at church. So we're just not using that this morning. And in lieu of that, I wanted to tell you just a little story of something that happened several years ago when I was a youth pastor. We had this kid in our student ministry who was just incredibly intelligent. And his name is Will Bryan, and maybe Will, if you're listening out there, one of your brothers or whatever, you can pass this along to each other. And the deal with Will is like the middle child of three boys, and their parents both extremely intelligent people. And his dad worked for colleges all through the years, and Will was one of these guys. I mean, just like aced the ACT, the SAT, the PBS, the whatever it was, you know, he was acing it all. And Will was doing that. And so Will's oldest brother, Graham, was about to go off to college. And Graham, this is so great because Graham is now a teacher. But back then, at this point in Graham's life, when he was like a senior in high school, like a lot of seniors at that time, and I'm not saying anything that I don't think he wouldn't admit to today for you. He just wasn't really applying himself, maybe like Will and even their younger brother, Alex. And so And so, you know, everybody just kind of, you know, Graham was just Graham, but Will's like, oh, he's the smart one. Truth be known, all three of these kids are like extremely smart. So everybody was just like, man, this, you know, Will's just so incredibly intelligent. And I'm talking with Graham one day, and I said, Graham, I've had this idea of doing something that, you know, everybody just sees Will as like this big intelligent guy. What if we do this thing and we just have like an academic decathlon at the beginning of one of our youth services on a Wednesday night and not tell Will, but you and Alex are the only ones that are going to be in this decathlon. We do it right before you leave. It's like a going away thing for you and a chance for you to, you know, step up to the plate and take Will to the mat or whatever and show him up before you go off to college. And so, you know, all of this to say we did this thing and it's a whole setup. Will has no idea. We've given Alex and Graham all the answers to all the questions. And so, like, the guy that everybody sees is, like, the brilliant one is the only one on stage that doesn't have questions. And we are asking the most ridiculous questions you have ever heard in your life. I mean, just some of the most insane questions we could possibly come up with. And they've literally got a list of questions. They're each standing in front of, like, a little music stand. But there's nothing on Will's stand. But he starts to notice, because, you know, he's smart, again, and he starts to notice, you know, that his brothers keep looking down at the stand when we have, you know, we ask a question, and they're like, let me think about this, I've got the answer, you know, and so, you know, and then, like, even when Will did know the answer and he would raise his hand first, we would pretend like we didn't see it. You know, and so, like, he wasn't getting anything in. And then, like, the one, you know, we finally let him have, like, a couple. And even at those, everybody's like, how is he getting those? He doesn't have the answers. But that's just, well, it's just, you know, one of those things. You know, I think for so many of us, you know, our life is spent at this stage where we are constantly going, you know, I want to know more about all kinds of things in this world. And I don't know about you, but when I get into something, I have a hobby or something, I mean, I just want to know everything about it. I used to love walking around at car shows, and you know, guys that were not Mustang guys would walk next to me, and they'd go, what was that car when it was originally built? And I'd look over at the VIN tag, and I'd be like, oh, that's an ACO 289 four-barrel four-speed car, but, you know, it's not a GT because it doesn't have this and it doesn't have that. And they're like, oh, okay, that's enough, thank you. And you know, but that's the way we get about things that we really love. And our knowledge of God we should yearn for that like we yearn for those things that we really love. Because if we say we love God, then we would be after, just passionately after, wanting to know more about Him. And part of wanting to know more about God is wanting to know more, not just have us have knowledge of God, but for us to gain a knowledge of God's knowledge. That's a big one. God's knowledge. What does that look like? What does it look like for us to study on what is it that God knows? And that's what we're going to talk about today. I want to show you just a quick clip here. We don't have sound on this clip. Go ahead, Jason, and you can turn this thing on for us. This is the first clip of two that we're going to show that both don't have sound. And it's not because the guys, they've tried hard to make this work. For some reason, they just couldn't get it. This is obviously Alex Trebek. Anybody remember Alex Trebek? He's also seen on SNL sometimes in a much better character. This is Ken Jennings. Ken Jennings is like the number one all-time winning Jeopardy champion. And right here, we are seeing Ken put on, you know, here's the question. I don't even remember what the question is, but the answer is this. And that is the most anybody has ever won on one single episode of Jeopardy, $75,000. And I forget which, you know, this was his 38th show to be on. It's like eventually, you know, all the other shows, you're like, you know, you get five and you're out. After that, you can't have any more money. You go home now. But not with Ken Jennings and Jeopardy. I don't really know if that's just kind of their deal. Let's show the other clip, Jason. I want to see the other clip. We have this other clip of Ken Jennings also on Jeopardy. And, you know, here's the question. And Ken is about to answer this question. This is the 75th program straight that he's on. Nobody's beaten Ken Jennings. He's amazing. He's all there all the time. Not really, but you know, it seems like it because he's 75 programs. But it's like over 4 months of Ken Jennings Jeopardy. And I'm sure everybody during that four-month period have written all Jeopardy, you know, all the Jeopardy people and said, you know, you should have me back because that was not fair for me. But anyway, they all lost and Ken Jennings won. But then there was this moment right here. And we have this lady, and she's like, you know, what is H&R Block? I don't, you know, she may not even know what H&R Block is. I don't know. But she bets, you know, $4,400 or whatever, and she gets this, you know, big grand total. She's beating Ken by a buck right now. And so Ken is right here, and he's going, what is FedEx? Ken loses the game, knocks him out. Look at it. He's probably going to go cry now. 75 games in a row of Jeopardy. I couldn't last through the first five questions of one show of Jeopardy. But Ken Jennings, 75 consecutive shows. That brother has got some knowledge. And you know, it is amazing. I've seen stories about Ken Jennings. He's written a book. He's, you know, of course, he's like a household name. I'm sure you and your family talk about Ken Jennings around the dining room table at night. But you know, Ken is seriously, he's like so well known now after, you know, being like a nobody. But you know, as much knowledge as Ken Jennings has, his knowledge does not compare in the comparison of the knowledge of God. And see, the reason I wanted to show us that is because, you know, I think for so many of us, we are so often trying to find like an earthly example of something that we can understand about what it means to compare something to God. And truth be known, it's really not a fair comparison because Ken Jennings is not God. But in our world, our understanding, to see somebody do something like that, that's an amazing feat. That man won like $2.5 million on Jeopardy over 75 shows. The knowledge of God is one of those things that when we begin to study it, God begins to reveal himself. And I just want to just share some passages of Scripture with you. And we don't have these on the screen. In fact, if you've got a Bible with you, I'd love for you to get it out. I am purposefully going to start using less Scripture on the screen to try to get more folks just kind of using their own Bibles. I've been convicted about something. I may be wrong on this, and I'm not trying to inconvenience anybody by this, but I've been convicted that we could possibly be creating a culture within our church that maybe people are not using their own Bibles. That it's possible that they go all week and they never touch them because they're not even touching them to have to touch them to come to church because we've been putting it all on the screen. We will still put some on the screen. We're probably not going to put it all on the screen. And so I just want to encourage you to bring your Bibles and get to using that. That is like the tool that you've got. That is like the main thing. It's your sword. I want to read this passage, just a quick passage, one verse. Check this out. 1 John 3:20. And it says, whenever our hearts condemn us, for God is greater than our hearts. He knows everything. For God is greater than our hearts, for he knows everything. And obviously, that just kind of puts a whole lot in perspective for us. For us to kind of sit here for just even a few minutes and just kind of take in the fact that God knows everything. I mean, how much do you know about even the thing that you love the most? You're constantly, you know, finding out some little nuance or something. You know what I'm talking about? Like, you know, I've been married now for 6.5 years. And every day, I learn something new about my wife. It's amazing to me. Some of it's good. Some of it's great. You thought I was going to say bad, didn't you? Not saying bad. It's wonderful. For God is greater than our hearts. He knows everything. You see, we talked about this last week about God seeing time. You remember this? If you were here last week, if you weren't, you need to go listen to the podcast. Some incredible messages we're talking through. I just don't miss this stuff. This is such huge stuff. And last week we talked about time. And we talked about how God sees all time. And so you've got like the past and the present and the future. And it's not like, you know, God has seen this and he is seeing this now and he's going to see this over here. No. God sees all time. And based upon understanding that basically he's looking at the whole thing at one time. I mean, it's so crazy to think about. But like he is looking at all the time at one time. Like, he's looking at it right now, and he's going, you're going to mess this up tomorrow. You're going to burn that rose today when you get home. You know, and so God sees all this. And with seeing all time, right there in of itself, shows us and helps us to understand how he has knowledge of everything. Because if you see all of time, then you've seen everything. Another passage of scripture for you, Matthew chapter 10, verse 30. And it says, even the very hairs on your head are all numbered. Even the very hairs on your head are all numbered. You ever think about, does God really care about that this is going on in my life right now? You ever think about that? You ever find yourself going, God probably doesn't really care about that. This passage of scripture is helping us to see something that is so important for us in our lives and our relationship with God. And that is that not only does he care about all of the little things, that he knows about all of the little things. Now, I'm sure, like, in your mind right now, you're probably going, maybe you're not going like this, but I'm going like this. I'm going, okay, God, you know, what's the importance of, you know, that zit that was on my nose last week? I'm not real sure about that. That doesn't make a lot of sense to me, but you obviously know the hairs on my head. You must know the thing that was on my nose. So there's got to be something to it. What's the point? And the point of the scripture is for God to just say to us, and just say to us as his people, and say, I know you. I know you, and I know everything about you. There's not one thing that we could wake up tomorrow and go, okay, God, I finally want to tell you about this. He already knows. Now, it doesn't mean that we don't confess our sin. It doesn't mean that we don't talk to God. I mean, obviously, all over Scripture, we're seeing the importance of this in a relationship with God and what it means to be a Christian. But I just want to just throw it out there and just say, God knows. He knows about you. He knows about me. He knows about our skeletons. He knows about our secret stash. I'm not talking about your mustache, by the way. Your stash. But God knows. He knows everything about us. Psalm 139. If you don't have a Bible with you today and you want to just go home and look at one passage of scripture, take this home with you and just, you know, write it on your arm or something. Psalm 139, the chapter 139, verse 1. It says this. It says, "O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar." Anybody seen that movie? I can't remember the name of it. It's like Mel Gibson is in it, and he can read women's thoughts. What Women Want. How could I forget that title? What Women Want. In this movie, Mel Gibson is just like, you know, he's wandering around, and all of a sudden he's gotten this power, whatever. But he gets this power, and he's reading women's minds. And of course he's using this to his advantage. You know, he's walking to the coffee counter in this movie, and, you know, the girl at Starbucks or whatever it is like, you know, thinking about all the bad things that, you know, have happened to her, and he immediately just starts consoling her without her saying anything about it to him. And then somewhere in there, you know, he reads her mind, and she's thinking, oh, he's kind of cute, and he's like, hey, would you like to have dinner tonight? You know? Well, I'm again, not trying to compare God to Mel Gibson, and rightfully so, but just the understanding, again, just an earthly example of us trying to make an attempt at understanding what it means that God could possibly know our thoughts. It's kind of scary that he knows everything that we're thinking. Because sometimes we think, man, I'm doing good because I didn't say what I'm thinking. I could have said that and I'd been in a lot of trouble. Or I could have said that and those people would have thought I'm horrible. But God sees it. And God knows it. Even from afar. Still in the same book of Psalms, Psalm 139, verse 4, it says this, "Before a word is on my tongue, You know it completely, O Lord. Before a word is on our tongue, He knows what we're going to say, even before we say it. I don't know what I'm going to say before I say it half the time, you know, but God knows. God knows exactly what we're going to say. Psalm 139 again, verse 16. And by the way, this whole chapter is just chock full of this stuff, and you can go back and check out the other stuff I'm leaving out. I'm personally leaving some of it out so that maybe you'll go look at it later on. But verse 16 says, Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book because one of them came to be. Before one of them came to be, God, according to this, wrote it all down. Has got it all figured out. Already knows what's going to happen. You and I are worried about what we're going to do this afternoon or what's going to happen this week at this particular event. Some of you were worried yesterday when you were watching your favorite college football team. I'm not saying any names. But God already knows everything that's going to happen. And with you specifically in your life, now I'm not, you know, I think for a lot of us, we've just kind of resigned ourselves to God has got a lot of stuff going on, and He's not really as interested in us personally as you know, we like to talk about sometimes. But that's still not true. He is interested in us personally. So interested that He is keeping up with what's going on. He already has kept up with what is going to happen. He's not just keeping up with us. He's already kept it up. It's already kept up. It's done. The bed's made. The room is clean. It's ready to go. That's where He's at. And for us, we spend so much of our time, and I'm not saying don't plan ahead, and I'm not saying, you know, that those things are not important. They are. But for so many of us, we spend so much of our time worrying about things that truthfully are out of our control. Some of them are in our control. Some of them are out of our control. We're going to talk about that. In fact, let's just go ahead and jump into it. You know, if God knows everything that's going to go on, Chris, how does this play out? How does this work for? Because I'm thinking about this and I'm going, okay, He knows what I'm going to do this week and every day, every minute, every second, He knows. He's got that. I'm getting that. I understand that right now. He has full-on knowledge. He is omniscient. That is a word for all-knowing. And He has got all-knowing power. And if He's all-knowing, Chris, then does that mean, what does that mean for me when it comes to things in my life that I see God do, and I'm just going, okay, well, what if I hadn't done that thing? I want us just take just a minute here, and I just want you to know this is a huge, huge thing that we could spend an entire series on, what I'm about to get into here. But I'm just going to kind of talk about it for just a few minutes, and I purposely am not going to answer all the questions. I just want to just kind of start getting your wheels turning to the point that you go, I've got to know that, and I'm going to go study my Bible about it. I'm going to seek out some answers. And the question I want to just pose to you is, you know, if we see that God, we see something happen. Let's say today you go eat Mexican food, and you should, because it's good. And let's say you go eat Mexican food today, unless you're broke, and then you go home and eat hot dogs. And those are okay, but they're not Mexican food, let's face it. And so you go home and eat hot dogs, or you go eat the Mexican food. And you get done with that, and you go, okay, I made a decision somewhere in here, and I went and I ate Mexican food. That's the one that we did today. And when I did that, was that because I chose to do that? Or is it because God decided I was going to go do that? So kind of make your head spin a little bit. I want you to just think for just a second about this. The things that happen, Was it orchestrated that you went and ate the Mexican food? Did God orchestrate that thing to happen? Or did you make the choice and you chose and it was just, that's the way it was? You see, somewhere in here is this huge thing called God's will. This is really going to wreck some of us this morning, and that's okay. But in here is this huge thing called God's will, and in God's will happens the things that are going to happen no matter what. God has ordained these things. They are going to happen. He knows they're going to happen. In fact, we see passages of Scripture that say things like, if you don't worship me, Jesus looks at these guys and says, if you don't worship me, it doesn't matter because even the rocks will cry out in my name. Basically saying, I will be glorified. God is saying, I will be glorified. No matter what you do, you could mess the whole thing up when it comes to your life, and I'm still going to get my thing done. We talked several weeks ago about, you know, getting on God's train kind of deal and, you know, not trying to get him on ours, but us jumping on to his plan. You know, and somewhere in there is this question that lurks, and it just says, you know, did he know that you were going to eat Mexican food, or did he decide that you were going to eat Mexican food? I'm not going to answer it. What does God's will look like in your life? Are you on the radar with that right now? Is your life really thinking about the kingdom of God these days? Or what's your life looking like right now? Is it all about you? It's all about what you want, what you're collecting at the moment, the thing that you're trying to get to? I don't know. I just say that to you this morning to just say, sometimes we don't think enough about God's will. Sometimes we don't ask enough, God, what is it that you would want me to do? Here's another question for you. If God is all knowledgeable, and he knows something's going to happen, is it possible that God could change his mind? And I love this one. I love talking about this one. We talked about this one in our home team a couple weeks ago. And this particular question is one of those that I guarantee you, if you go home this afternoon and you really study on this, you can find passages in Scripture where you see there's things such as the city of Nineveh, who God says, I'm going to destroy this place because these people are wicked and evil. And then from that, these people repent and God spares them. So, was God lying when he said, I'm going to destroy this place? Was God not knowing that he wasn't going to destroy that place? This is not the only example of this in Scripture. You read through Scripture and you can see that we see many times where people cry out in repentance or even cry out in behalf of people. This is like the craziest thing to me, is there are passages of Scripture that you can go and find, and I'm not going to give them to you, you can go and find them, about where people cry out on behalf. There's a passage where one person cries out on behalf of an entire city that God is going to destroy, and then he does not destroy that city based upon this one person crying out and saying, God, please, please have mercy. Have mercy on these people. I know that they're wicked. I know they've done terrible things. I know that they're not even looking to you. They're not interested in glorifying you. They don't care about you, God. Please forgive them. I am asking for forgiveness on their behalf. God, would you save this city, please? And God has said, I'm going to destroy the city. And his answer goes from, I'm going to destroy the city, to, I am going to spare the city because you have believed in me. And you have spoken and interceded for these people. So does God change his mind? I'm not going to answer it. If God knows everything, then he knows the destiny of each and every one of us, right? I want you to think about that for just a second. I'm not talking about what you're doing this week. I'm talking about your destiny. I'm talking about your eternity. Does God know? I mean, He knows everything. He's already seen all of time. He knows what's going to happen. It's by His own nature. He can't help. He can't help but see all time. He's just seeing it. It's like, oh, it's right here. You know, it's not like a, you know, He's playing a cheating game with us or something, but He's seeing it. He's seen all time. He has all knowledge of all things. And so in that, does He know for each and every single one of us where we're going to spend eternity? There's a couple of camps on this. Some of them get really crazy with some of these things too. And one camp will tell you that they will say that God, as a matter of fact, not only knows, but he has what is called, this is a man-made word, but He has done what's called predestined these people. Predestined all of us to either heaven or hell. He's already chosen which ones of us are going to make it or break it. There are other camps that say, no, that's not true. And in those camps, they say, well, you know, there's this thing called free will. And in this thing, free will, that's where God created us, and He didn't create us to be robots, but He set us on earth, and He said to a certain extent here, I'm going to let you make choices for your life. I may intervene at times, but you get to make choices. You get to go eat Mexican or hot dogs, whichever. But even if that's true, doesn't He still see what's going to happen to us? Doesn't He still see if we choose Him or we choose not Him? So does God know your destiny? I got a better question for you today than that. Do you know your destiny? And I'll just tell you, it doesn't matter how long you've been in church, doesn't matter how much you know about Scripture, you knowing your destiny comes down to one thing, and that is, have you ever given your heart to Jesus Christ? You may not have. And if you haven't, I just want you to know, I'm going to be hanging here after the service. I'd love to get to talk to you about that. I'd love to pray with you about that. I see passages of Scripture. Again, I'm not going to answer this question for you. And this is the great thing about this passage of Scripture. And I do want to say this about this particular topic. That I have seen Christians so divided over these things that it becomes a device that Satan himself uses within churches to divide people. And say, you know what? I've got to be, you know, all the way over here. I've got to be all the way over there. And so you've got this camp over here, and they're like, oh, I'm chosen. God chose me, and He didn't choose some other people. And then you got this camp over here, and he's going, I don't know what that was. Maybe God's trying to tell us something. But then you got this camp over here, and this camp over here is going, you know what? I'm in the free will, and, you know, it's my choice. It's up to me. God, I understand that God has to call me in. I understand He has to speak to my heart. And could that be seen as chosen? I don't know. But the thing that's important for us to understand today is that these are not dividing lines for us. It is to that point that with Scripture, what God has given us to a certain extent, we really can't draw exact lines with some of this stuff. And this is a crazy thing for you. I'm going to throw this one at you now. And that is that we can see in Scripture where sometimes it's like God is saying this right here. And then like way over here on the whole other side of that particular thing, it's like we see something else in Scripture that it's like God is saying this. And it's like, that doesn't make sense. How does that go with this? That makes no sense to me. And I just want you to take a hold of something. This is kind of tough to grab onto, but I think you can do it. And that's that you know, oftentimes things that don't make sense to us in Scripture aren't going to make sense to us in Scripture, but they make sense to God. And sometimes we're not going to be able to draw every line exact, and that's kind of crazy for us because we really want to do that a lot of times. And there's nothing wrong with that. In fact, seeking knowledge of God, growing closer to Him and who He is what's going to lead us into being more like Him. And that's a great thing for us. And it's the thing that we're running after this morning. And maybe you're not running after it this morning, but I just want you to know I'm stumbling a whole lot, but I'm trying. And if you're not running after that, I just encourage you to join me in the race of stumbling. Join me in that journey, because I don't like to fall alone, number one. Number two, because God wants you to grow in Him. He wants you to grow closer to Him. I'm gonna move on down to this passage of Scripture, and I just want to read this passage of Scripture kind of with you this morning. This is a passage out of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10 and 11, it says, "But God has revealed it." We do have this one on the screen. It says, "But God has revealed it to us by the Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men know the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. We have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God." That's not up there, but I just want you to get this, and we're closing on this. God has all knowledge, to the point that He has knowledge about things that, you know, like the things that maybe don't make even sense to us that we've studied in Scripture, and we're going, how do these things fit together? I know these things are supposed to fit together, but it doesn't make sense to me. And I just want you to know today that it does make sense to God. And not only does it make sense to God, but even God Himself, when He is confusing to us, makes sense to Himself. Because in this passage of Scripture, right here in verse 11, it says, "In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God." He is saying, even I have searched myself. I know all about me. And in knowing all about me, I know about all things because He created them. It's His creation. Been talking about how God is eternal, and from eternity He has spoken all things, and those things include what would happen and what He would do. And this morning, that's just big for us. And you're probably sitting here and you're going, I want to get this knowledge of God thing. God spoke it all into existence. Way back before He ever spoke any of it into existence, He knew what would happen and what He would do. And not only that, He never learns something new, and He never forgets something that's old. And that's huge, because He just knows. I want to pray with you just for a moment. Let's pray together. God, thank You so much, Lord, for showing us who You are through Your Scripture. God, I pray, Lord, that You would just resonate this stuff in our hearts, God, that we could marinate in it. God, that in You we could gain a knowledge of who You are and grow closer to You, to be more like You, to be the people of God that You have called us to be. Lord, we love You. We thank You, God. And as we just have another opportunity, God, to just raise our voices to You and just praise You and raise our hands to You, or whatever it is, God, that You lead us to do in worshiping You, God, I just pray, Lord, that You would be glorified through it, that our hearts would be in the right place. Lord, we love You and we thank You for showing us who You are. God, may we continually learn who You are through Your word as we worship together. In Your name I pray.